We go over now to my favorite place on the planet, Italia, the eternal city of Rome, where you find one of my besties, Joan Lewis, Joan's Rome, and you can watch her great reports. Of course, you can find her online, EWTN, and her wonderful radio spots, but also check out the great work she does, such a cool live shot that she does for Jim and Joy Pinto on At Home with Jim and Joy. I just love it because it just is so beautiful. You look so pretty and you're standing there with St. Peter's in the background. It's just, and you're so informative. Anyway, now you can send me the check in maybe next week. But so what's going on in Rome? I know the Holy Father, there was an announcement he is going to be going to World Youth Day in Panama. That was confirmed by Greg Burke, and kind of slow and quiet right now in the Eternal City, correct?
It's actually very nice, you know, when it's so hot that the last thing on your mind is working. Of course, you work in an air-conditioned office, but still you walk outside and you want to melt. But this is the month that supposedly the Holy Father's on vacation, but Francis's vacation are not like those of his predecessors. He takes July off in the sense that he doesn't meet huge numbers of large groups and audience and give talks. He doesn't have the Wednesday general audience, so it's a quiet time. The only public appearances are supposed to be, well, of course, he had planned the trip for quite some time to Bari for that ecumenical prayer meeting, and then the Sunday Angelus is his main other time in public, and I'm sure he's working on things like speeches and so forth for the 2 days that he'll be in Ireland for the World Youth Day, and then he'll, at the end of September, he will be going to Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, so those trips to plan for, you know, never a dull moment in the papal household, even if it's not always public. So,
yeah, and I know that he just came back from Bari, correct?
That was on Saturday, yes. He had, I don't remember when that was, you know, it had been planned for quite some time, but he had wanted, the Middle East is so much on his mind and the peace or lack thereof in the Middle East. And so the Holy Father just planned this with 19 other patriarchs of the churches of the Middle East and with their representatives, and a very wonderful service. I saw almost all of it actually on television, of course. EWTN did the coverage, and a ceremony filled with obviously an awful lot of symbolism, the lighting of peace lamps and so forth, but also some very, very strong words, you know, from the Holy Father, who condemned what he called the complicit silence and indifference of the world to the conflicts tearing the region apart. And he said, we desire to lift up our voices in opposition to this murderous indifference. Now, what was happening, there was an open-air service on a great big stage kind of on the beachfront there in, it's on the Bari, of course, it's on the Adriatic. And so the various church leaders were there, and I did see Cardinal Sacco, obviously, of Iraq, so one of the churches of the Middle East, and so we had Orthodox and Catholic brethren, but and non-Catholic Christian brethren there. But the Holy Father and the leaders, then 19 of them, met privately in the cathedral of St. Nicholas in Bari, and then, of course, the Pope looked at the relics, did venerate the relics of St. Nicholas of Bari, and this is a saint who is venerated by both the Eastern, by the Orthodox and by the Catholic churches, by Eastern and Western churches. So, and Bari is actually even called, this is in the southern Italian region of Puglia, and Bari is called the Eastern Gate, the door to the east.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So beautiful down there. It's one of my favorite parts of Italy. I've been to Puglia twice now. Love it. Love it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, another part that I do not know is Puglia, and I also don't know the Molise. Our very good friend Claudio of La Vittoria fame, of course, his roots are in the Molise, and every so often he'll go, you know, for a weekend or something when his parents, if they need him or something like that. Anyway, I discovered recently a friend of the Gingriches who was here in Rome, Amy LaCivita. I've known Amy and Pat for quite some time. She plays the French horn, as does, and few people knew this before July 4th, as does Callista Gingrich, our ambassador to the Holy See. And they both performed at the wonderful party last week for the July 4th celebration. Anyway, Amy discovered, while she was in Rome, she got a letter from some relatives who, it turns out, are related to the Marinelli Foundry in Agnone, Italy. Now, this is a very famous, this place has been operating for 1,000 years. The same family, 25 or 26 generations, have been making bells for churches in Italy, including, obviously, St. Peter's. So Amy's writing all this information. She's writing to Newton Callista and to me. And, of course, I wrote back and I said, hey, guess who's going to have to go to Agnone and do a story, you know, now that I have an in into the factory, so to speak. And so I discovered Agnone, where the bell foundry is in Molise, and guess who's going to drive me down to the bell factory for
Claudio.
Yeah, exactly. So Claudio and Palmerino will just, you know, look at our calendars and decide what day we can go and obviously be in touch with the people at the Bell Foundry. But, I mean, can you imagine a place, 1,000 years of making bells? And
there's so much. There's so much history, and what I love about when I talk to you is, and of course I live vicarious through you, and so do our listeners. But there's so much history beyond, and I always tell people when they go to Italy to really take the time to go off the beaten path, because there's so much church history in other places. Like even when we were in, I was showing you when we were in Rome in June, pictures of Maratea and that Christ the Redeemer statue that's above the mountains and 22 meters high. And there's this whole pilgrimage area that most people have never even heard about. And St. Biagio, St. Blaise's Church up there, and all the groups that go up for Mass and have retreats. And, you know, in the middle of nowhere, there's this gorgeous statue of our Lord, and there's all kinds of events that happen. And this statue was built to pray over southern Italy, because it's so notoriously poor and all the issues that they've had down there with unemployment. And I didn't know about it until I started doing some research, and I wanted to go. Not to mention that Maratea has some of the most concentrated area in terms of churches in that region of Basilicata. It's just incredible. But the stories that you're sharing with us are there all the time if we're only willing to discover it. And to me, it's not just about tourism. Yeah, it's great to see and whatnot, but it is about the history of what the church has given the world.
Well, Teresa, you know what I'm hearing and thinking? We should announce it today on this show. You and I are going to collaborate on a book, and we're going to be the 20 most hidden magical places in Italy.
Love it.
Okay.
That's a great idea. Then I'll just have to come over and spend like 3 months there and do my show from your apartment, because we have an assignment.
And we might have to travel together all over this wonderful boot-shaped country. So, oh, my God.
We have a plan. You know, but that's a great idea. Actually, I think we should do it. I'm serious.
Well, you know, and the funny thing is, what I remembered when I was writing to this family about coming down and seeing them, and they're very anxious to have me and everything, I remember doing a special for... just in case I had to be on a trip or something else, I have these "Did you know" moments that I do for at home with Jim and Joy. And one of the first ones I did was a segment on the 6 bells of St. Peter's Basilica that have names. You know, you're looking at the basilica's facade, and the tower on the left has the 6 bells. Well, they have been electronically operated since 1931, so they can even be tolled. T-O-L-L-E-D, from a distance. The oldest bell is from 1288. The newest is from 1932. Obviously, when I go to Agnone, I'm going to find out what their role was. But the largest of the bells is called Campanone, and it's Italian for big bell. And then there's Campanoncino, and that's the smallest, you know, when you have I-N-O on the end of a word.
Right. Right.
Then there's the bell of the Rota, the bell of the sermon, the Ave Maria, and the La Campanella. And then when all six bells ring together, it's called the plenum, the full complement of six bells. So now, aren't you glad you know me?
Yes, I do. I am. And you know what I'm thinking? Now my mind's starting to turn. We need to do a video series to go along with this book. I just did a video series for Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic. We need to do a quick video series. It doesn't have to be long or complicated. We could just do, you know, short videos. But and going back to Puglia, I was telling my listeners when we came back from Italy this last time, what that Deacon Dom and I do, as you know, is we look for all the churches and the towns, and we look, you know, what saint and the relics. And we were in Puglia last year. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know this, but the town of Gallipoli, where we stayed, which is a beautiful resort town on the west side, the southwest, that is, they have a huge dedication to St. Teresa of Avila there. I had no idea. And we're finding this as we're touring through the churches. There's a piazza named after her. She's on the front of the cathedral. And the guide told us, well, we start our Christmas season on October 15th. And I said, well, why in October? And I said, and why on St. Teresa's feast day? Because I'm named after her. And he said, because she's one of our patrons. And I had no idea. And I almost started to burst into tears because I was drawn to this town. And I had no idea why, besides the fact that it was beautiful. But then I started to learn about what is considered in that area as a miracle that happened to one of the Carmelite sisters who was doubting the Eucharist, and she had an experience with St. Teresa, and that's how she became one of the saints. And then you go into Lecce, which is the Florence of the South, and you go down to Santa Maria de Luca, which is the very southern point in Puglia, and the beautiful church there. Incredible. Every corner of Italy speaks of the beauty and the history of the saints and the church. It's amazing.
Well, it makes me think, I don't know how many of our listeners know, but when you're in Italy and we're breaking bread together, if there's just two of us or 22 of us, Teresa, at the end of grace, when we all pray grace together, my friends, Teresa always says, oh, and by the way, God, thank you for making Italy.
Thank you, Jesus, for making Italy. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Exactly. So we're thankful for the bounty we are about to receive and where we are about to receive it.
Amen. No, actually, Joan, you put the, I think you got something there, sister. We need to talk because that would be an absolute hoot. Could you see the two of us tooling around and talk? But it's just an encouragement for people
to you realize where this ends up. You and I will have to lead a pilgrimage.
There you go.
To these places.
And your point is, the problem with that? I don't see a problem with that. We do pilgrimages regularly anyway, right?
I don't see a problem either. Oh, my goodness. This is just getting better by the moment.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
And you know what we should ask while we've got a minute or whatever left?
Sure.
Is our listeners who have been to Italy, have been to some wonderful place that is off the beaten path, write us about it and say you might not remember all the information, but if there's some place that has a church-related history to it,
right?
Let us know. Write to me, you know, Joan knows at gmail.com, or write to Teresa. So there may be people out there who are going, oh, I know exactly where Teresa and Joan have to go.
Well, also, you know that I'm launching this summer. It hasn't happened yet because I've been so busy with all the breaking news here and my book and you know, speaking engagements. But I'm launching Tease Italy, which is going to be up and running fairly soon. And you're a part of that. I've got some videos with Joan involved. But yeah, I think we are into something here, sister. But no, in all honesty, it is a country that we can learn so much from about our faith. And we're already out of time, so we're going to have to talk more about this. Enjoy the week, because I know it's a little slow, a little quiet right now, but so appreciate your input. And always, always stay tuned to Joan's great reports. And I especially love her reports that she does on At Home with Jim and Joy. We will be right back to let you know what's coming up tomorrow. Someone else you love from EWTN, the wonderful Father Mitch Pacwa. I'll tell you why he's joining us on a Thursday morning. Joan Lewis is in Rome. You can find her, of course, Joan's Rome and Joan Knows, and check her out on EWTN.com. We'll be right back on a Wednesday. Stay tuned.